This episode of Tales from the Lot is sponsored by ShakedownT-Shirts.com with unique lot style t-shirts, license plate frames, coffee mugs, and all sorts of things for Grateful Dead, Fish, Zappa, Panic, and more. ShakedownT-Shirts.com, where all U.S. orders over $35 ship free. And just for Tales from the Lot listeners, use the code LOT20 for 20% off of any order. That's LOT20. Hey, real quick, before we kick off this episode of Tales from the Lot, I've got some exciting news to share with you. I've been working on a project called Summer Tour The Game, inspired by our love of following our favorite bands around. It's a tabletop board game where you chase shows, collect ticket stubs, and relive the magic of live music, all from your own tabletop. I'm thrilled to announce that the Kickstarter campaign for Summer Tour The Game is launching on May 12th. If you're a fan of this podcast, then I think you're really going to enjoy this game. You can check out a short video and all the details at summertourthegame.com. So whether you're a seasoned road warrior or a tabletop gaming enthusiast or just looking for a new way to connect with friends, I invite you to check out the campaign and consider supporting it. Every pledge and share and word of encouragement makes a difference. I'd love it if you would help spread the word and make Summer Tour The Game a reality. Thank you, everyone, for listening and being a part of this journey, and now on with the episode. Tales from the Lot, episode 18, always feeling like some 69. I got CP here to talk 5690 at Cal State, the 48 Laws of Power, and the fine wine that is the Grateful Dead music catalog. Here we go. Hi, welcome to Tales from the Lot. I'm Will. My guest today is CP from Tucson, Arizona. He's here to talk about 5690 at Cal State and a bunch of other stuff too, I'm sure. So how's it going, CP?
Good. How you doing, Will?
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming on here. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
So let's just dig in. So like, what were you into prior to the Grateful Dead musically?
It was classic rock. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. So when my very first concert that I went to was Oingo Boingo, and they were really big, you know, like the mid 80s. And I remember my dad drove me and my buddies there. We you know, dropped us off at there. We were like, now leave, you know, and we went in. I don't remember, probably 14 or 15, you know?
Right.
So that was
what's
my first
song. I know the band, but what's their big song? I can't
like
I
Dead Man's them. Party, Only a Lad. I mean, there's so they had so many hits, you know, because it's Danny Elfman and now he does all the movies. Right. So that was my first experience, like kind of being out in a crowd and doing that. Then we started getting into classic rock. So I went to Rush, went to Lollapalooza, and you know all those bands that were there. The first Lollapalooza back, like Perry Farrell, Jane's Addiction, and Ice-T. It was pretty wild. Susie and the Banshees. Nice. So you know a lot of it was classic rock and then alternative. Like, I guess I don't even know what alternative is now because I pretty much just listen to, you know, this kind of music. And then
that's kind of how I was.
Yeah.
In the 90s, I found the Dead and was just like, oh, I got my Dead blinders on now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. So I remember hearing of the Dead, and there was a smaller group of guys and gals at my high school that kind of liked the Dead. They had the t-shirts and all the stuff, you know, and I didn't really, I don't know. It didn't really wasn't calling to me, I guess. I think I heard some music and I was like, I don't know, whatever. I don't know. I wasn't ready, I guess. And, then I probably heard Truckin' or Casey Jones, one of the ones to draw you in, you know,
right.
It was more poppy kind of for sure. More like this other stuff. But I just remember like when I first heard it, like certainly nothing like, you know, Dark Star would have resonated at that time.
Right.
And I wasn't really, and I was pretty much just a drinker, you know? So in high school we drank, maybe puffed a little bit, but mostly drinking. So right. I don't think I was vibrating at the right level for this yet.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. As we were talking right before we started here, we're right about the same age. So
yeah,
I same boat with you. I was, you know, I was definitely not doing much other than drinking some Miller Genuine Draft or something.
Yeah, the banquet. You know,
listened to some classic rock. Which, you know, in my local station would sometimes play Truckin'. I remember
Yeah.
And then I remember later on, after I'd found the band, realizing, oh, that song that kept playing that I always liked.
Right.
That's a Grateful Dead song.
Yeah. It's funny because I think that happened a lot with me, where it was like, oh, I didn't realize that was the Dead. You know, I think when Touch of Grey came out, although when did Touch of Grey come out? It was mid-80s or was it late 80s?
87 or 88. 87 or 88, I think.
So that came out, and then they were sort of more, you know, mainstream-ish because they were on the radio more. Yeah. But still, it just didn't really, it was like, whatever, you know, so they had some hits, just like all the other bands pretty much back then, you know, you'd listen to the, because you're on the radio. Like it's so, the musical experience is so different now. And then also, you know, being a Deadhead, it's also different in that, you know, you kind of focus on that catalog and the live music.
It's a good time to be alive though, if you're Deadhead, because I mean, you really, every show, is at your fingertips. Like if you're feeling like some 69, you can go get yourself some 69.
Always feeling like some 69.
Yeah, I had just to reiterate that. And then, you know, if you're feeling like some 89 or even some Cal State 5690, it's
right
at your fingertips. Like today,
yes.
It's amazing. So
I think the first, there's the one you have to pay for. I can't remember what it's called, and I don't know if we're allowed to say it on here. But that, is it Nugs or?
Oh, yeah,
Nugs. Okay. Yeah, Nugs. And I had that and I thought that was cool, but I couldn't find my show on there. And this is a while back when it was kind of newer. And then somebody showed me Re-Listen and I was like, holy moly, why didn't somebody tell me about this? And then he's like, I am telling you about it, you know. somebody else earlier. And then I found my show, right? I was like, oh, I found Dominguez Hills. And when I played it, I played it without looking at the set list because I wanted to just listen. And I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe I got this as my first show, you know? Like I had no idea. And I appreciated it because it was the first time that I ever took LSD. Yeah. But I didn't really know a lot of the songs, right? Like it's so interesting. I remember Terrapin playing. And whew, you know, the clouds are doing their thing. They're swirling what is this? You know, like, and it was like, boom. I mean, that was it. I was hooked from Terrapin. Like, it was just like, I can't believe this. This is like, it's like an orchestra or something. You're just going, how are they doing that? How is a band doing that? And then like when they were, you know, when they were going from one song into another, you know, I was like, did they just like fade into another, you know, I'm like, you know, trying to figure it all out. And then, you know, obviously with the help of the increased serotonin and all that, it was pretty wild.
Yeah. Right there with you. That was the first time I'd ever done. And looking at the set list, I see there's a few similar songs. Like my first show opened up with a half step also, but I also noticed there's a Standing on the Moon at your first show, which that's the song. Like I had a great time. I wasn't real into it before I got there, but my buddy sort of convinced me to go and I took a little LSD and it turned into a great thing from note one of Half Step. But Standing on the Moon, just the lyrics of it and just what it was about, you know, it may not have been a situation that I've been in or whatever, but I understand the lyrics and the heaviness of how they present that song and every other song too,
whether
it's a slow song or a fast song. But that's where I just really got the storytelling that happens. With the Grateful Dead was Standing on the Moon.
Yeah. I don't remember it from the show. Like I remember Terrapin and then it went into drums and I like laid on the ground and, you know, I think I zoned out and got back up around when Throwing Stones came on and I hadn't even heard Throwing Stones, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, what, you know, and everybody's doing, you know, dancing and doing the thing and I was just like, this is the most amazing thing ever, right? Like, this is just unbelievable. And then Love Light, I was like, what's this? You know, and I didn't know any of the names of the songs. And I was just like, I was just hooked. Like it was, they got me, you know? Mm-hmm.
And how quickly were you on to see in other shows after that?
So this is, I'm a junior. Like, I mean, I got home, you know, we got home fairly late, like, and then, And somebody from our group apparently went, there were a bunch of like notables at this show, like a lot of like I want to say Kesey, but I don't know if it was Kesey. It was either Kesey or Timothy Leary. And I don't know if one of them was dead and I'm doing this wrong or whatever, but mm-hmm. one of those guys was there and ended up like a couple of my buddies, like ended up somewhere with like their group and they had a nice. Tank in their place and like they had a whole experience. We went mm-hmm. home, like we went out and tried to eat, which, you know, that was fairly difficult. To power a burger down. And I remember we went to this place in Pasadena that was like more of a like gangbanger hangout. And mm-hmm. we're in our tie-dyes and, you know, the only ones in tie-dyes in the place. And we just, it was crazy tripping. And then we forced this food down, went home, and I couldn't sleep. You know how you can't sleep. And the fan was singing. Like it was like replaying the concert the whole time while I was trying mm-hmm. to nod off, eventually fell asleep. But that was wild.
I remember coming home from my first edge and I was like, I was not ready to sleep at all. Just replaying from pulling into the parking lot, you know,
yes,
all the way through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what an experience that was, you know,
yeah.
And the anticipation of, holy shit, when can I work out doing that again?
Right. Yeah, you know. So I don't know if the next one was a dead show, but I went to between this, you know, that show and then when Jerry died, I went to a good amount of dead shows, like mostly in Vegas. Like I'd go to all the Vegas ones, all the Phoenix ones, and then maybe somewhere, you know, some in California. And then we'd go to Jerry Band and we'd go to Bob and Rob. And I really liked Bob and Rob. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, it was wild.
I missed out like, on that.
Just those two guys doing that, you know, like that was, mm-hmm. that was something.
I had a few tapes and I played them all the time. Big fan of Bob and Rob, but I never got a chance to see him.
And did you go to any Jerry Band?
No, not when Jerry was alive.
Oh man. It was a whole different thing. Like it was just, you know, it was just, you know, he's playing so much Dylan and it was just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like those shows, and that was a lot of
the Motowniness of that too, with the background singers,
so and, soulful.
I love Jerry, and my favorite Jerry is in Jerry Garcia Band. I mean, he's great in the Dead too, but there's just something about the soul that goes on in JGB between him and Melvin, and just all you know, and John.
It was so solid, and like just like you'd be at such peace. We went to one. Like, I don't know. It was at a beach. It was like somewhere like, maybe it was Ventura. I want to say Ventura. Maybe it was Ventura. I don't know. It was at some beach and, it was phenomenal. And we did that one. Then we went on Jerry's 50th. We were at Irvine Meadows and, I went with my two buddies, this guy, Jer, and this guy, John. And John had this really cool, like it had the wood pipe, and then it had like this granite. And he said, well, in the parking lot, we ate a bunch of mushrooms and then we also had LSD. I don't know what the thinking was behind that, but this is, you know, early college thinking. And then we got in and he pulled that pipe out and he had like a, you know, half ounce or an ounce. He had a ton. And and he said, we are going to smoke 50 bowls for Jerry's 50th birthday today.
Oh,
and
shit.
I mean, if we didn't hit it, we were damn close. But, you know, it was a wild, it was a wild long day. It was amazing. That was a good time.
Speaking of day, I was going to ask you about that Cal State show. Was that an early show? Because I noticed when they were playing Feel Like a Stranger, they're talking about it's going to be a long, long, crazy afternoon.
Yeah, it was day.
It was like an early show.
Yeah, okay. We got there we got there in the morning. Like we were there in the morning, like drinking, and then I think 10 or 11, we probably took the, you know, the little tabs, and then so there was my buddy Dave who drove, and he's like, I drove to Canada with him. He's a really cool dude. He lives in Nicaragua now, like makes chocolate in Nicaragua, like just typical, you know, Path of the Deadhead does some and then this other guy, Brian, hadn't ever done it either. And he was like same boat, hadn't ever been to a dead show, hadn't ever taken, you know, LSD. And I feel so weird saying it on here. So I say it real fast. Like it isn't the same as saying it.
This is a safe space. This is a safe space.
Good,
it was in the past, so it's okay.
Right. And it's all hypothetical anyway, because the past doesn't even exist. So
no, it's all simulation.
It is. Yeah. And so Brian and I were having a, like when it came on, you know, like especially the first time, like it came on and I remember distinctly, like somebody walking along with a tie dye and like, you know, it turned on, like the tie dye was alive. Like the lights turned on, it was doing its thing. And I was like, you know, we were playing like catch with the Frisbee or something. And I saw this tie dye and I'm like, wait, what the hell is, what's going on? You know, like, and they're like, oh yeah, they must, you know, the tie dyes are on now, you know? And it was like, holy crap. And that's when it took off. And then like shortly thereafter, like somebody with the Frisbee, it hit some guy, it hit this guy in the nose and like, he got a bloody nose and started squirting everywhere. And like, I didn't think anything of it, you know, but this guy, Brian, like he saw it and it like, he lost it. And so he like, you know, I guess you'd call it bad trip, right? Like he just was like he was comatose the entire time. Like we had to walk him in to get him to the blanket. Then it was like, he had a blanket over his head. Like he was just, I just wanted to, you know, I would go try to help him. And then my buddy Dave's like, no, you have to stay away from him. You have to stay. he's okay. Don't worry about him. You need to take care of yourself and just focus on the show, you know?
Yeah, let him write it out.
And I'm like, okay, you know, you're like, listen to the expert that's 1 year older than, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, poor guy. He said, I remember after the next day, he's like, I'm never having that again. And I was like, oh, man, it was great. You know,
oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, bummer.
I get it. You're tired of the same old music festival routine, the day-old porta potties, overpriced food and water, finding the perfect spot for your 10-by-10-foot tarp. Well, I've got the answer to all your festival and concert-going troubles. Introducing the Hippie Hologram, music festival app, and mini projector. One moment, you're nestled comfortably in your beanbag chair, surrounded by the soothing aroma of incense and the low light of your lava lamp. And then, shazam! Your living room becomes the epicenter of the ultimate music festival experience. With the Hippie Hologram app and mini projector, you can teleport to the grooviest festivals without ever leaving the comfort of your home. Picture it, you, your snazziest tie-dye onesie, and thousands of holographic pals, and you can dance like nobody's watching, because nobody is! And forget about missing out on festival eats. We've partnered with the industry leader in food delivery service, Grateful Groceries. Every new order of Hippie Hologram Music Festival app and mini projector will include a full year of Grateful Groceries.
Oh, wow!
It's the full festival experience without all the mud or trying to find your tent in the dark. It's the Hippie Hologram app and mini projector.
We went to a lot of Vegas shows. So, and probably was like, there's a couple of guys I could get on here that would be interesting and fun to hear from.
I would love to. Yeah. 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 You got my email. Send them on over.
The Vegas shows.
Was that like the Thomas and Mack Center or something? Is that
Sam Boyd Thomas Silver Bowl?
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
They might have played at Thomas and Mack at some point, but I was always at the Silver Bowl. We'd go stay at Sam's Town in Henderson, and then Silver Bowl is right there. Well, pretty close, you know, like you could take a cab. They didn't have Uber, obviously. I don't know if the younger listeners know what a cab is, but we had to take a cab.
No. You would go to a phone booth and call a cab. And
yes, they don't know what any of those things are. Using a quarter.
Yeah. And I would look it up in the back of the book.
Yeah, phone book. All these things, right? Like they got none of it. Yeah. One show that I really remember well was Dave Matthews opened. And I remember like, who's Dave Matthews, you know, at that time it was like, who's this guy? And like, he really got the crowd going. Like it was a lot of fun. Like he opened and did a really good job. And then it started pouring rain. So it was like one of those shows where you're down on the floor of this place, just getting soaked the whole time, thunder, lightning. It was crazy. And they didn't like call it off there was like lightning, like in crazy thunder. And then, so anybody that was there, you know, at this particular one would remember, because it was the encore. It was either encore or the end of the first set was Here Comes Sunshine, and they hadn't played Here Comes Sunshine. And I don't know, you know, the older guys who are now probably 90 are saying, we're like, they haven't played that in 27 years. You know, it was like some big deal, whatever right. It was 20 years or 15 years. Or, I don't know, but that was cool. Mm-hmm. And it was like, as they were playing it, the rain stopped, the clouds opened, the sun was like, it's just like, how did they do that? You know,
they're magic like that. I remember when they did start playing that song again, everybody was hoping, you know, maybe that was a sign that they were going to start bringing back a whole bunch of old stuff. Cause it was like so long gap between when they started playing that one again. And then, you know, eventually we did get Unbroken Chain and a few other things.
Yeah.
That hadn't been played in a while.
Yeah.
Did you keep going all the way up through 95?
I think the last show was, it was either Vegas or Phoenix. Like we'd go to Compton Terrace. And then I think that they might've played at Desert Sky. It was called Desert Sky, but then I don't know what it's called now, but
sounds familiar.
Compton Terrace was like, you know, just a dirty amphitheater. Like it was like some, you know, like some seats and then like just this dirt, like it was like a parking lot, like dirt parking lot, but that was the grass. Right. And people would it had like a chain link fence. Like that's all it had was a chain link fence. And yet people, you know, as soon as it got dark, it's like people are hopping that thing. I hopped right it one over. Time. And then at Desert Sky hopped it one time. That was a big wall, but I wouldn't do that now. You know, it was different values.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. I considered doing it, but I never did that. I was at that Deer Creek show too, when, everybody started busting the gate down and coming through fence.
Yeah.
That was tough day.
You know, the part about being young is that's where you learn about the bad choices that you make, or the, you know, choices that
that's
maybe
right.
shouldn't be
made. You have to make those bad choices in order to make good choices later to learn.
And plus the good choices look so much better after you've made those bad choices.
That's right.
I don't know why I'm talking like Seinfeld.
That's oh, no I know. Bad, though. You're, I know.
Well, I know.
What's the deal with that?
What's the deal? Yeah.
All right. So mm-hmm. before we wrap up, I'd like to also ask about, is there anything that's been on your radar as far as like maybe a new band or some book you read or something that really you were like, wow, that's profound.
Well, I stumbled upon this podcast.
Very profound, no doubt.
Yeah, and now I own a Dark Star shirt, and
which
it's like
came,
you know,
from Shakedown T-shirts.
Yeah, did we talk about this on here where we were talking about Truck It? Yeah, that's how how I found it. But it's like you know, to get to the point, I think it's a couple year stretch to get to the point where you're listening and liking Dark Star, right? Mm-hmm. Like Dark Star and the other one, and you know, like those are the tougher ones to enjoy, I think, you know, when
yeah,
you're
they're not the ones that
in.
Reach out and grab you. Yeah,
right.
They don't, like, they don't have,
it's like
they don't have
anymore. Right. It's like once you've, okay, I've got through everything, I need more. And then you're like, oh, I get it. You know, like with Fish, like if you play the whole, what's that, you know, the whole story, I don't know what it's called. I can't remember what it's called. His master's
thesis. Game Hinge thing.
Yeah. Hinge thing. You know, I think that's kind of, it's fun and I think it's pretty cool, but you're probably not going to be pulled into Fish by listening to that. You're going to be like, what the hell is this? Right. So like some of it is like a wine, right? Like it needs to age a little bit, or you need to age a little bit, maybe.
That's part of it too. Yeah. You have to just be in the right space and ready for it.
Yeah. So I got a bunch of shirts and I think they're awesome. So that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah. Love that.
What else? Yeah, I don't know. Books. I mean, I buy so many books, but mostly business books, like marketing stuff.
You know, we got marketers on here, man. Lay it on us.
Lay it on us.
We got marketers listening to this show, right? There are people right now. I
mean, maybe everybody's heard of this. This was called
just so you know, dude who's driving in your car right now on the way to work, who's working in marketing, this is for you.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. It's called 48 Laws of Power. And it's really cool. I mean, this guy is kind of, you know, I guess he's a little controversial because the subject matters can be controversial, but it's like these laws. And then it's really interesting because he'll explain it and then categorize that thing. And then, or he'll have the judgment on it. Like, so like here, law number two, never put too much trust in friends, learn how to use enemies. And this is all as it relates to business, right? So, judgment, be wary of friends. They'll betray you more quickly, for they are easily aroused to envy. They'll also become spoiled and tyrannical, but hire a former enemy and he will be more loyal than a friend because he has more to prove. In fact, you have more to fear from friends than from enemies. If you have no enemies, find a way to make them. And then he gives examples like midnight century, Michael III assumed the throne of Byzantine Empire. And he'll explain like, using this well and what happens, and then not using it well and what happens, but using history to explain it. So it's pretty cool. Like I thought it was like, they're interesting concepts, you know. I don't know that maybe everyone is actually a law, but you know, it's an interesting read.
But you can see where it's coming from, at
least. My podcast, which I'm not going to talk about because of the things I've said. I'm actually doing 48 episodes on the 48 laws. So I'm doing one for each episode.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just talk about it. Cause it is interesting, you know, and you know, like you do the thing and you learn something, right? Like it's fun to do the podcast cause you actually learn things from doing it from the people you meet. So
for sure. Yeah. That's why I asked that question. Cause I'm people turn me on to all kinds of interesting things all the time.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, CP, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you coming on and telling your story. It's been fun.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Thank you so much. All right, till next time.
I need to go because I want to go get a t-shirt.
Hey now, do you have a great story about a Grateful Dead show you were at? I'd love to hear it and maybe have you on the podcast. Send me an email at will@talesfromthelot.org and let me know what show you would like to talk about and what made it so special to you.